Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Best of Five Show. My name is Elon. I am joined here by the return, the triumphant return of the main squeeze, Steve Ace King Offsuit Jurek.
Say what's up, Steve. Thank you for the spirit bomb last week. I really appreciated the love. It kind of did, surprisingly. I wasn't feeling all that great. It wasn't COVID related or anything like that. Just exhaustion, because for me, like many other people, this is sort of our busiest time of the year at work. I've been working some really weird hours that my body's not used to. And I, you know, doing that and then doing the show is, it's a challenge sometimes, but pulling through, I'm doing my thing. Thank you for the love. And, yes, you should bask in my glory.
All right, I'm going to give Steve, I said a little earlier, I just found out that my finger guns are super powerful. So I'm going to give you a three shot salute here. All right, everybody join me in giving Steve a three-shot salute for his return.
You are having way too much fun with that soundboard.
Welcome back, Steve. Tonight on the show, hopefully Sharpie will come back to us. We don't know, though. Tonight on the show, we're going to recap some stuff. Things happen. New Dragon Ball Z character, Dragon Ball FighterZ character is coming out. Looks like there's more shady organizations are coming to light, and thank goodness for that, because now we know what to look out for, among a bunch of other crazy, wacky shenanigans. But first, before we even get into anything else, Steve, who owes who pizzas anymore?
I don't even know. Like, pizza, I think we're pretty much split on pizzas, except for John, because he still owes us like 52 pizzas.
Yeah,
from before.
That's why he left. He couldn't pay the pizza debt, so he had to flee the country, or else I was gonna have to chase him down.
We got Sharpie back.
Oh, Sharpie, is this the return of Sharpie?
Hey!
Yay!
Welcome back.
It's the return of the Sharpie.
Return once again.
Hello, everybody. I'm sorry I'm late. Had to use little girl's room real quick. See a man about some velvet buffs.
Here's my question. Yeah. Why are we letting Elon host the show now?
That's a good question. Elon, who's in charge?
Before we get to that, Sharpie, how are you enjoying your new superpowers?
You know, I have to say, I was not a fan until I realized that I could use it against grapplers. Then I was like, kind of great.
Yeah.
Kind of great. Yeah. Big fan.
That would do it. Yes, I see you've raised your hand a lot.
First of all, I'm being put on the spot here as far as why I host. I have the on and off button here, so y'all say one wrong word and I'm turning this off. No more best of five.
We can lock off that button now from here. I don't know if you know noticed, but yeah.
That happened. I have a gun now.
We're impervious to bullets now.
Sure. I was put in here in my place by the Lord, the now retired family man, Efren Salinas. So you should take it up with him. But anywhoozle, enough of the shenanigans. Steve, you've been gone a while, so we need you to do your job and give us a recap.
Do we really need to be done with the shenanigans? Because I feel like shenanigans are, you know, that's my wheelhouse.
Okay, then shenanigans it up.
I will shenanigans it up for the recap. Let's talk about some Dragon Ball FighterZ, because we've had a couple weeks of DBFC finals, the final three national championship playoffs. Let's start with U.S. East, if we could, please. This followed along the same pattern of the first two finals, U.S. West and Spain, in which one of the players in that opening match, that 3-versus-4 quarterfinal, got the win and carried that momentum all the way to the title. Nitro Bros knocked off Double L, then pulled the upset over to Kill Sage, and then the 5-4 win over Hook Gang got in the final to become the DBFZ U.S. East national champion. France was a slightly different story because we finally got something a little closer to form. They were all tough fights. All went down to the wire. Yasha was able to get the 5-4 win over Gila in the quarterfinal, but then Wawa was able to turn it get the win in the semi, and then knock off number one seeded Kaiden by a 5-4 score to take home the French title. So congratulations, Wawa. It was interesting. I would think that he'd be a lot of people's pre-campaign favorite, but did come in third in the standings.
Yeah, I also saw a lot of really cool clips of some of the crazy shit he was pulling off on people. So big ups to him. Yeah.
So those were the ones from the week that I skipped. There was only one this past weekend, and it was a doozy. The Japanese National Championship. This one was actually held offline. That was a topic I wanted to get into last week, and I unfortunately wasn't able to get to it. But they announced that DBFC National Championship was held offline, or was going to be held offline. And obviously, going in, it was all about Goichi versus Fenrich. Those two went into the final day of the regular season undefeated. Goichi got the win, so he got the top spot. Kazunoko lost tough fights to both of them, but went on a revenge tour in the playoffs. 5-1 over Bombabon. Pardon me. Then the 5-3 win over Fenrich in the semi, and then came down from 4-2 down in the finale to knock off Goichi, to make the god bleed. So Kazunoko once again gets the big title in DBFC in the Japanese scene.
Why is it that whenever people forget about Kazunoko is when he wins?
Actually, Kazunoko is my favorite Japanese DBFZ player. I think he's a really, really strong player, and he has kind of like that wild card feature that allows him to like understand high level players, and that's dangerous. He's able to like kind of play janky whenever he needs to in order to like stop being predictable, and that's something that a lot of people at a high level don't have. So I'm never surprised when I see him, like, because I know I've seen a lot of very strong American players lose to other American players that have that, and he's already very talented Japanese player. So whenever he comes up inside of tournament results like this, I'm always like, I love him. I literally love him. He can turn his powers off and on whenever he needs.
That's crazy. Yeah, but I just think it's so funny that, you know, everybody knows he's an amazing player, but every time the story is on someone else, he just comes in and wins, just like this. It happened a couple times during when DBFC first started coming out, where he was the first person who won a Dragon Ball, right, to go into the offline finals. So it's like, where's he going?
He's a very strong player.
He's a very strong player who tends to have the bad luck of having someone else in this at the same time who is also a very strong player. I mean, when he's been doing well at DBFZ for a very long time, but you know, you had the Goichi versus Sonic Fox rivalry at the beginning of the game. That kind of took the spotlight. Back in Street Fighter V, or Street Fighter IV, I should say, Kazunoko was always a really, really strong player, but you also had Daigo being Daigo. You had Infiltration pulling out 35 different characters. So it was, the spotlight rarely is ever solely on Kazunoko, which is why it's a bit easier to forget about him. But he is someone you absolutely have to put in that top tier of players, maybe even top tier of multi-game players all time.
Yeah, I remember Final Round 2016. No, I'm sorry, Final Round 2017, the first year they did it at the Convention Center. Jokingly, I signed up for Honor doubles with a buddy of mine. Then we wound up having to play Kazunoko and Goichi for some reason. And the worst part of it was, I thought I was okay at the game, but they beat my ass. And I had to wait like an hour because Kazunoko was playing on stream. So.
Don't you just love that when you play someone who's like in three different pools? It's like it used to be called the Chris G special because he would he was one of those players who would enter like seven different games. Like if you go to a tournament, there's always someone who enters like five, six, seven different games. But most of the time, they usually lose in pools in, three or four of them. So it,
Unless
when
they're
you
good.
have, well, I mean, like even still, you to be that good to make it out of pools in that many games, there's not a whole lot of people that can do that. So it is a TO's nightmare.
Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. It was Kazunoko and Fudo, not Kazunoko and Goichi. I apologize.
Oh, God.
But still.
I don't know why that makes it any less funny.
I don't know either. But all I remember too was that I admire MOV's comfort level with the world because the whole crew that traveled from Japan, they were all hanging around together and they were waiting for Kazunoko and Fudo to finish playing For Honor. And then they all, left to go do something else after that was over. And MOV was just on the floor sleeping, and the whole crew left, and he was still on the floor sleeping. It was wild. Like, I wish I could sleep anywhere. Like, even in a bed, I can't sleep. But that guy just falls asleep on the floor. I'm like, dang, wish I could do
If you have complete control of neutral, you too can fall asleep anywhere and not be worried.
Yeah, that is true. But anywhoozle, big ups
What's
to.
up? What's up? What's the next tournament we got, Steve? Or is that it?
I was gonna say big ups to Kazunoko for winning.
Yeah. We also got to, before we get too much farther, shout outs to Blasphemous Black subscribing to us with Twitch Prime.
Yes.
Twitch Prime.
Yeah, that's where you said that pre-show. That's my boy Franklin here from Austin. Leading the scene. He's the person that usually like organizes a bunch of cool stuff for the Tekken community over here, so big thanks to him for
Yay.
being one of the community leaders around here. Le
So
community
shout outs to
leaders
fellow
around here.
community leaders out here.
Yes. Even though he moved from Arkansas? Kansas? I don't know, whatever. You're from Austin now, buddy. Congratulations. Arizona. Arizona, I'm sorry. I'm not from here, so I don't know state names. But anywhoozle. Yeah, big thanks to Blasphemous Black for the support. Super appreciate you. All right, Steve. Are there other things to recap? Because I do believe there was one thing left that
There
we
were
had.
actually two. I'm adding one of them to the drive right
Oh,
now.
jeez.
I know, I am a terrible person, and I apologize for this, but it is the one I am uploading right now. In the meantime, would you be able to pull up the Topanga graphic?
Sure.
Oh yeah, no, I love Boy Meets World.
Okay, I have thoughts on Cory and Topanga, but this ain't the time. This ain't the time. We are talking about the Topanga Championship Season 2. This one the finals took place this past weekend, and it was the six players who made it out of the three groups from 24 players down to six, the first to seven round robins. You know how Topanga does. It came down to Itazan and Fudo in the final match. Winner takes the title. Fudo came in with a 4-0 record. Itazan, however, pulled off the 7-2 to win in that match to take home the top prize of 2.5 million yen. Fudo finishing second, taking home 1 million yen. Kawano, a name that if we have offline events, if we have an offline CPT in 2021, that's a name I think we're going to be seeing a lot more than we have. Third place out there to pulling home a nice 500k, nice 500k yen. So, and it's good to see Bonchan in the mix again. Pardon me, excuse me. Yeah, I'm going to mute myself for sure.
Oh yeah, Papa John. We have Pugera too. That's a name I don't think I've seen in a hot minute. So big ups to Pugera. I'm sure I'm butchering the pronunciation of that name, so I apologize in advance.
No, that one's actually right, Pugera.
Steve, did you upload what you were going to upload?
I did.
What was it? I also uploaded what I was going to upload.
Yeah, Sharpie, I got your stuff. Is... Steve, what did you upload? I don't see it. What have you done, Steve?
What is...
While you're doing that.
There.
Okay. while you're doing that, I do want to... Before we get to what I'm downloading here now, I do want to talk about the other part of the recap, because we had a pizza writing on this.
Yeah, we did.
We had a pizza
writing. I've still not been paid out from my other pizzas, and I want to know when that's happening, because there have been quite a few sleepless nights where I've been sitting here like, I would really appreciate a pizza with some extra salt from Elon's tears, you know?
I owe you a pizza? What do I owe you a pizza for?
For the very first marble that I bet on. Because I didn't bet on the second one.
Oh, that's right. You bet on the Razzie Racers. Raspberry Racers. Mm-hmm. I forgot because I then tied with Steve. But I forgot I owe you a pizza. So that will be coming next episode. That'll be my Christmas gift to you. Christmas pizza. But anyway, I do want to bring up... Let's talk about this Capcom community vote. Because Steve, a couple months ago, you and I threw down the gauntlet. We slapped each other with white gloves. And we were going to duel on the betting of a pizza. I had bet that Tokido was going to be the person that was going to Capcom Cup via this fan vote. You had bet that Punk was going to be the person that was going to Capcom Cup via this fan vote. Turns out we were both wrong by a lot.
Ooh.
We were both wrong. They both finished in the top 10, though. Yes. But it was a distant. So the Capcom vote ended on Thursday. Tokido and Punk both made top four. Tokido pulling in 11,000 plus votes, Punk 10,000 plus. But the battle the entire time was between Luffy and Zenith. And in the end, Luffy ended up with over 35,000 votes compared to Zenith just under 27. So Luffy grabs the final spot in Capcom Cup.
Wow.
So good for him.
This is going to be the first year of a Capcom Cup that we don't have Punk, that we don't have Tokido, or at least as far as Street Fighter V goes, we don't have Punk. In general, that we don't have Tokido. We don't have Problem X. We don't have Fudo. We don't have Fudo. Yeah. Oh, my God. We don't have Nemo. The Dark Horse from a couple years ago. No Momochi. This is crazy.
But Luffy does keep alive his streak of every qualifying for every Capcom Cup in the Capcom Pro Tour era. Mm. So there was... a little bit of salt, obviously, whenever you get a popularity contest like this that rides on community votes. Some people are going to be happy with the results. Some people are going to be not so happy with the results. And I saw, well, here's the thing. I saw a couple people getting upset because Luffy, obviously some of these players campaigned very hard. Zenith and Luffy obviously were the two that campaigned the hardest because it was clear it was coming down to them. And Luffy ended up getting a couple of big boosts. He got his campaign retweeted by the French Ministry of Sport that provided their Twitter followers a few times over the course of the final days, a push to, hey, vote for Luffy. Let's see a Frenchman in the Capcom Cup. Some people got a little bit upset by that. He also got re he didn't get retweeted, but he did get a tweet in support from Antoine Griezmann, who, if you follow soccer, you know he's a pretty big deal. But he plays for Barcelona, one of the most popular teams in the entire world.
Very big football player. Very, very big
Very,
deal.
very big.
Very, very big deal. Like I watch a lot of soccer. My team isn't Barcelona because I don't believe, you know, in buying your players. I'm a Real Madrid fan. But that was a big deal. That was a big
Okay,
deal.
that
Are we
please tell me, are you a Madrid fan for real? Or was that just a bit?
No, that's a real thing.
Okay.
I've been watching. I've been watching soccer since sixth grade. Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna have some fun in February.
We
We're gonna
will
have some fun
definitely
in
have some
February.
fun with it. Like, it's not related at all to fighting games, so I don't typically bring it up, but that's why I say football, because I do watch. I watch soccer like that.
Remember when the Brazilian Ronaldo was in Real Madrid?
Bro, Ronaldo. Oh my God. Okay, we're not gonna get
Then he
started
hurt
talking about
his
soccer,
knee
actually,
and he
because I'll
was like,
go
oh no, I can't play no more.
Remember Amaral Díaz playing for Brazil back in like World Cup fucking 2004? Like before he got injured, covering every single goal, every single one. Amaral Díaz, man. Okay, I'm
We
sorry.
we're not we're not going to talk about R9. We're not going to talk about Griezmann. We're not going to talk about how busted he is in the midfield in FIFA 21 because he shouldn't be able to defend as well as he does, but he does, and it's just, you know what? We're not going to talk about that. We're here to talk about Luffy.
You have real talent and you don't need to just buy players. It's kind of like insane how good of a team you can build, you know? When you have actual
We're not
players.
talking
Like,
about
isn't that crazy?
We're not talking about
We're not
that.
going to talk
We're
about
talking about Luffy. We're
Let's
talking
instead
about
talk
Luffy.
let's instead talk about how George Russell got screwed by Mercedes at Formula One a couple weeks ago. No, I'm just
We are talking about Luffy. This is a fighting game show.
The Cowboys won.
Oh, man.
Yeah, fighting games. That's right. Fighting
Anyway,
games.
so I do have a
So,
thought on the whole Luffy sitch.
yeah,
Okay, let's talk
go
about
for
it.
it.
Why are people pissed?
It's a good question. Why are people peace, Steve? I don't know why
I
I said
think
it
it
like that.
comes in a couple different ways. One, as you see, if you can pull up the results screen. All
Go for
right.
it.
Can you read the top line, the very top line of that image?
Capcom 2020 community vote.
What is that next to last word that you just said?
Community.
Okay, so there are some people who are very, who are upset about the possibility of votes coming in from outside the community. You know, people who follow Antoine Griezmann, people who are French but not necessarily Capcom fans, not necessarily Street Fighter fans, getting pulling influence from them in order to influence a vote that is supposedly about the by the community for the community, it leaves a bit of sour taste in people's mouths. I'm not necessarily in that camp, but there's You know, there's that aspect to it.
You know when somebody loses a game or a match of whatever game and they say something like, oh, I blocked that low?
Then why are you in recovery? Why are you in hit stun?
Yep. That's
Why'd you
you.
lose?
Or even when you were a kid and you were playing like hide and go seek or some shit and you're like, no fair, you opened your eyes or some bullshit. That's what this sounds like.
It feels a lot like Salt. Like my same thing is, if you had an issue with that, then you had an issue with the entire premise of it, first and foremost. The idea that one, people can buy votes should automatically let you know this is 100%, you know, something that people are doing. Like on Smash GG, you can actually literally purchase more things to get votes. You don't just have to have a Smash GG account. You can tweet them, you can follow them, and you can influence their vote more based off your social media presence. So in an environment like that, when you use all the resources you have to win, you're not really cheating. You're just playing the game, you know? Like, it's the same type of people that have issues with mind games or have issues with camping inside of fighting games. That's what it sounds like to me. The reality is this person, Luffy, literally used all of their influence to get into something they really wanted to do. And the reality also is that they're not being paid or compensated at all. All they're doing is just being rewarded with actually having an opportunity to play inside of something they wanted to play in. That's all they get, is an opportunity to play a video game. That's really what they just won. They won the ability to play a video game inside of a tournament. And if you're upset about that because you wanted to see someone else play, you can still see them play. They just won't be playing in that tournament. Being bitter for someone else's success is like real dry energy, to be honest.
Well, I mean, he did win a trip to the Dominican Republic.
Well, awesome.
Which we'll talk about that in a second.
But here's the other thing, too.
But here's
the thing. I want to pose a hypothetical scenario. Say Punk got retweeted or talked about by Michael Jordan or somebody like that. People would not be as upset. I'm willing to put my money on that.
I would argue
that people in the U.S. community would not be upset, but people in the Brazilian community and in the European community definitely would be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Could be. But now here's the situation. To trump all arguments, what is the purpose of having a community vote? What is the purpose of having people campaign?
Be honest.
What is the purpose of having people campaign in order to accumulate votes to have them be the person going to Capcom Cup?
To give the event more exposure.
Exposure. How many people in France are now like, oh, Frenchman on Capcom Cup, I'm going to watch?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
There might be some. There's certainly going to be some, just like there would certainly be some Brazilian people who weren't necessarily hardcore Street Fighter fans who would tune in if Zenith won, or if some Japanese fans who weren't necessarily hardcore Street Fighter fans tuning in if Tokido won.
Do you guys remember the Lupe Fiasco Daigo thing forever ago when Street Fighter first came out?
I actually wrote about that for .esports, and it was one of my most popular pieces of all time. I'm not exactly happy about it.
I read that article.
But it is what it is.
Yeah, now, the press that got, here's the mentality of the people who don't really know that there is a competitive scene in fighting games like that we are in. It's like, oh, Street Fighter, I used to play that with my brother, sister, friend, blah, 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 whatever, when I was a kid. Whoa, this is the new one. This looks cool. There's a tournament for this. You can make money. Oh, my God. And then they're going to go watch it.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? It's marketing. And having Luffy get this much attention is not a bad thing. And the people who are upset about it can f*** off.
Especially when you consider the fact that it's only for the price of a plane ticket in a hotel room. Like, That's how much it costs them to get this huge reach.
I mean, I wish I had a plane ticket. No,
and
I agree. Sport. I'm not saying it's not bad. I'm just saying, really think about the amount of reach that they would have to pay money in order to get all of this from, right? Mm-hmm. Like getting any type of sports player with over 1 million of a following. That's money. Like, and I'm not talking small amounts, like a couple thousand. I'm talking a couple hundreds of thousands of dollars of a contract to secure even just one tweet for an advertisement. And they got that for essentially free.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, that's a reach that nobody else was able to secure. And so when there are community vote events like this, what you're really showing is, how big is my reach? That's why when I see people being like, oh, it's an opportunity to get in when this is that, I was like, you really need to be ready to market yourself, because this is now officially the sales side of video games. This is no longer, we can play in a tournament, the best player wins, so on and so forth. It's how much of a personality do you have and how big of a network do you control? That's a completely different argument that I think a lot of people inside the FGC aren't ready for.
And I
Very
think
true.
that's part of, I was going to tie it back to something Alon talked about earlier, but that's actually a really good point. What I particularly love about the FGC is that if you're a five-time Evo champion, if you're someone who went 0-2 in every tournament that you've entered, it doesn't matter. You're on as equal a level as possible when you enter your next tournament. You both pay the same entry fee. You both get placed in the bracket. You both have to win approximately the same number of matches under the same circumstances in order to win the title. It is a meritocracy. You don't have to know somebody to know somebody to get an opportunity. You have the opportunity in your hands, literally in your hands with your stick or your controller or your steering wheel or however you're doing it, to show what you can do. And when you have these sorts of popularity contests, and it's the same sort of thing when you talk about invitational events. When you have these popularity contests, it gets away from what to a lot of people is a very core part of the FGC. That the fact that we are all people who need to prove it in game in order if we want to be treated like someone who makes top three, we got to go out and make top three. So I think that's another reason why people are upset with this. I'm not personally a huge fan of using a fan vote in this sense. I understand why, but I mean, we're talking about a chance at winning $100,000 here that goes to 15. That for 19 people, it's based on merit, and for one person, it's based on popularity. Not saying that Luffy is undeserving by any means, but the competition he won was not Street Fighter in this case. I wish we had an LCQ this year, but that's not how it is. So we just got to hold it. We just got to hold it.
I would like to address your point with the following point. Did they not play on the other online tournaments? And did they not lose and therefore have to be placed in this sort of contest instead? Just saying, they lost. You know? The fact that they were depending on this as their opportunity is representative in itself that they were in an online tournament where everybody could enter for free, mind you. And anybody could win.
I get that.
I understand that too. It's just that more so seems kind of scummy then because it makes it a huge popularity contest and it takes away from the skill. And I totally get that too, Steve. My whole thing is I like it because it showcases people that may not necessarily get highlighted inside of these tournaments, specifically because they may have like just not, it may not have been their day. They may have had like a bad moment or something. It gives them a chance to get that same spotlight. Because there were people that campaigned that didn't get that many votes that now have a lot of opportunities exclusively because they were campaigning. There are people out there that aren't on this list because they had significantly less votes, but they still were voted by certain people out of their community. They were able to gauge their community. They were able to grow their personal community and thereby grow. Like that's big in and of itself, to be very honest. So I like it for that. Honestly, like I'm gonna be real with you. I don't like it so much for the invitational purpose. I like it because it's an opportunity for content creators, for streamers, for just general like podcasters and commentators to get a chance to also be in the same spotlight as these players and be like, hey, I know I didn't do super great in that tournament, but look at me. I'm interested in games. I love being here and I love it as much as this other top player. You know, you can vote for me. And I like to call it like the third party vote. Like there's a very small chance that they'll be able to defeat a lot of these larger top names, but they're still able to take that opportunity as a chance to grow. That's what I like about it, to be very honest. That's what I think kind of gives back to the community in a way that a lot of other tournaments don't. Having that opportunity for content creators and general, just like I want to say streamers and podcasters and casters again, to have an opportunity to showcase who they are. is always something that I like to see in general.
Yep, it makes me so happy that Emezi got fourth place in that Street Fighter League vote from last time. And then Arturo went. Nothing against Arturo, but
that was a weird one last time around. That was a weird one.
That kicked off a series of segments on this show that I will forever hold near and dear to my heart until I started being wrong. Either way, at the end of the day, I think people were just salty. So, you know.
So
if you wanted to win, you should have gotten Michael Jordan to retweet your thing or something. I don't know.
Or Tom Brady. More relevant in every way.
He only retweets those who live the TP12 life, or Art Gronkowski. But again,
I'm not doing this with you.
We're talking about fighting games. We're talking about fighting games. And there was another Street Fighter event that took place this weekend, or at least aired this
past
week.
Sorry, I found it. Go ahead.
Street Fighter League. We had round 10. That's my one per schedule, or my one per week. Round 10, or week 10, excuse me, of Street Fighter League action. Alpha 3 pulling off the tight win over Psycho Shinobi to move to 6-1. All In had the chance to join them, but it was Nasser Esports who pulled a bit of an upset. The 3-1 win puts them up to 4-3, moves All In down to 5-2. So now they've lost back-to-back matches after starting the season 5-0. Alpha 3 now in sole possession of first place. All In has a chance to bounce back in week 11 against Psycho Shinobi. That will air on the 7th. I forgot to silence my phone. I apologize.
That was the most futuristic phone sound I have ever heard in my life. I'm going to point that out.
It was really cool. That reminded me to actually silence my phone, too. So,
Not even in this room. Suck it. I'm the real professional here.
All out class fight, Elon. Yet again.
Way to go, me. So, speaking of Street Fighter League and the culmination thereof, we learned this past week the ending, the conclusion, the epic conclusion of Street Fighter League, once again, will happen at Capcom Cup.
I don't know why I played the Price is Right music after that, but I did.
Be careful, you don't want to get DMCA'd. That's almost going to be illegal soon. Topical jokes. So, did we need to talk about anything else about the results of Street Fighter League? Is the recap over? Should we move on to the Capcom Cup talk?
We should talk about.
Can you tell us what's the future hold for us? Oh, great, Steve Aruni.
Well,
did you pull out a
Wayne's World reference?
No! Oh my god!
No, that's Wayne's World stole it
from. No, they stole that from The Outer Limits. That's an Outer Limits reference inside of Wayne's World. How do you not know that? That's a parody
because
on
parody.
Oh my!
I didn't watch Outer Limits.
This is literally why no one watches any real film anymore. That's the problem here. No one reads, no one watches real film. But yeah, tell us what's in the future. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Swing, swing, swing. There. You happy? Totally tubular, dude.
Wow. I triggered something deep in the recesses.
And yeah, it was the Twilight Zone. I don't know why I said Outer Limits. I'm sorry.
Oh, Twilight Zone. Oh, so you pop off on me for not having the right reference, and you don't get the reference right. Really?
So the Outer Limits was based off the Twilight Zone, which came out in the 60s. But we're not going to talk about that because you don't even know. Like, if we have to get into Quantum Leap, we can do that too, but we're not going to. Okay, chat, I need you to calm down. Chat, I need you to calm down. And I need Steve to tell us about our upcoming events this weekend. Steve.
I was never a Quantum Leap guy. I was more of a Sliders guy.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, fighting game events. So a lot of the regular... It did. So obviously, a lot of the regular events that you've seen on this list have either wound down in the case of the Japanese Street Fighter League and the DBFC National Championships, or are going on a week-long break in terms of the Street Fighter League US and the Mortal Kombat Online Pro Competition for the holiday. For the Christmas holiday. But we do have a couple events that are taking place this weekend. This Thursday, Capcom is airing a holiday special of the Street Fighter League. It's going to include, at the very least, a commentator show match. So there'll be something for you to watch on Thursday. And then Saturday, I want to give a special shout-out to... TAO Fights. They are running an online winter series, which is 32 of the best fighting Street Fighter players from Côte d'Ivoire. They are going to start an online tournament series on Saturday. So be sure to give them a check this weekend.
Okay, good. Steve, what's the name of the place again?
We used to call it Ivory Coast.
Okay.
It's now known as Côte d'Ivoire. My French pronunciation is terrible.
Côte d'Ivoire.
So,
Côte d'Ivoire.
Côte d'Ivoire.
Yes. Côte d'Ivoire. I took Japanese, okay? I'm sorry.
Watashi wa Côte d'Ivoire. You're welcome. there,
whoever got that sound clip, I'm so sorry.
I hope that bridged it. Cool. And I think I did see that. I think, what was the commentator? It was like Tasty Steve versus Vicious, something or other. It was going to happen and some other shenanigans, right?
I believe that was the matchup. I'm pretty sure it was Vicious. Yes, it is Tasty Steve versus Vicious in a 1-5.
Now, I had another question. There's one event that we talked about last time that I actually did not get to watch, but
was it my brand new episode, which comes out every single Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, only on youtube.com/thepurplesharpie?
Well, no, but I also forgot about that too. Thank you for a reminder. It's the series.
New episodes every Friday, day after Christmas. Y'all better tune in. Episode 2 comes out.
What's the name of the series?
Training Partners. Thank you so much. It's a show about three roommates, fantastic, all gamers, all played by myself. I have Black Yoshi as well as Banjo Plays Banjo featured inside of the show. We did remote filming. I'm very, very excited about it, and it's the very first web series made by FGC for FGC about gaming culture, specifically competitive gaming culture.
Nice. But what I was going to say after that ad break, what I was going to say is that the Anakin Invitational happened this past weekend. We talked a little bit about it last week. The tournament results were, first was Glaciating, second, Shadow 20Z, and third, Fusion. Also, there's also another third. I think maybe he meant fourth. I don't know. Justin Iglesias taking up tied for third or fourth, whatever that means, because that might be a typo on his tweet. So, big ups to Anakin for running a successful invitational for Tekken. You know?
Shoutouts to all organizers running invitationals right now, honestly, because without events, these things really help players and a lot of content creators stay relevant. Thank you for creating a healthy economy inside of our fighting game community right now.
Absolutely. With all this said, let's go back to talking about Capcom Cup. Because they even released a trailer, and it's an Alex trailer.
Wow.
Did it start? Did it start? Let's turn up the heat. The time. So pretend you're seeing stuff right now, yeah? Just keep pretending you're seeing stuff.
It sounds really cool. No need for talk. Let's do
this. I think the video download didn't work out so great. Wait, oh, my God, look, it's Capcom Cup. Oh, Capcom Cup 2020. Capcom Cup champion. If you, you know, if you get washed, it's like, damn. If you get washed, it's like, dang. All right, well, that video didn't download right. But anyway.
That video got washed.
It got washed. Either way, Capcom Cup, I'm pissed about that video not working and the fact that I didn't check it beforehand.
Dang, is that a double crossover under overhead? Because I definitely didn't read that.
I couldn't see it. Could you?
At all.
I didn't see that.
Nope, bro.
anyway, Capcom Cup was announced. It's going to be the weekend of February 2021. That doesn't seem like a real day to me. February 19th, 2021, and it's going to take place in Punta Cana, right? Is that how's it? Point of Canes at the Dominican Republic. So big ups to Capcom Cup. And it'll feature, as they have in the past, the big old Capcom Cup Finals and the Street Fighter League Finals, where it's going to be Team Japan versus Team US. Actually, I think it's going to be two teams from Team Japan and two teams from Team US. I think I remember seeing. I wish I could see it again, but the video broke. Anyway, I think I got all the right information in there, right?
It sounds correct.
So day one will be dedicated to the Street Fighter League Finals, and then day two and three will be the Capcom Pro, the CPT Finals, Capcom Cup itself. Remember, that's going to be 20 players coming in. There will be, Capcom did clarify that there will be no fans in attendance. There will be no tickets for sale for people who were hoping to go. Which stinks because I wish it was under different circumstances, but I'm so glad that DR is getting a finals, getting an event like this, because that scene is one that basically came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you've seen players like, obviously we all know what Mena did, winning
Love
CPT.
Mena.
Make it sound like it Love was something Mena. Bad. We all know what Mena did.
We all know what Mena did.
That story is so beautiful,
well,
honestly.
If you're a Tokido fanboy, it was something bad.
Yeah.
He had the nerve to beat Tokido.
Oh, no. DR is like the Pakistan of Street Fighter.
See, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. Like, I want to touch on that subject just for a moment. Because the reality is, it's not that there are just these small pockets of very talented players. This is everywhere in the world. There are very talented players everywhere in the world. We just don't always have eyes on them because they may not have the ability to stream. They may not have the money to broadcast themselves the same way that certain countries can. They don't always have the limelight. And what's so beautiful about Mena's story is that he took an opportunity that he could have exclusively used for himself to build up his community and his hometown. And that's something that resonates so strongly with a lot of people in the human condition, because everyone has family like that. Everyone has people that they want to bring up with them. You know, Arslan Ash did the exact same thing. He's like, I'm not even the most talented person that I know. Look at all of my friends over here. That's beautiful. And so I'm like Steve said, I'm also very happy that it's taking place inside the Dominican Republic, because there are so many players who haven't had an opportunity to showcase themselves. Like, a really good example I want to give right now is Hook Gang God. He literally never, ever, ever left the state of New York before he was sponsored. Never. Never. He became sponsored exclusively by playing at his locals. Imagine if it was like that for literally every single team in existence. Imagine if you could be sponsored by Echo Fox or by MLG or by like Evil Geniuses or even by Equinox just by going to your locals. Imagine that, really. If every single location on Earth had that opportunity, it would be much more difficult in general. But like, that's what's crazy about it is that there are a lot of people who have a lot of opportunities exclusively by merit of the stream and visibility scene here inside of the US, certain parts of the UK, and even in Japan. Like, there are just a lot of people that don't always have that opportunity, but I don't feel like it's necessarily fair to say, oh yeah, you know, Dominican Republic is just like Pakistan. It's like, no, these places exist everywhere. There are parts of Africa that do the exact same thing. Australia has a very active scene. The difference is that they're not in the names of these other commentators from these other countries because they haven't placed in tournaments in those countries. That's the difference. But yeah, I wanted to say that because I thought it was an important point.
Okay, I'll never say another word ever again. Jeez.
No, I love you, Elon. I did want to say that because you're not the first person to say that, honestly. I hear it very often. I just want people to understand. It was not a one-off. There are a lot of very talented people right. In other countries that don't always get an opportunity to play. And it's really about harvesting and helping to focus and polish that talent and capabilities that they may not necessarily have.
Right. That's why we should all go watch the Cote d'Ivoire weekly starting this weekend. So there you go.
So along with the announcement, Capcom actually published their plans for Capcom Cup weekend, including testing and safety procedures. So players will be tested for COVID once they arrive. If there is a positive test, they will not be allowed to participate in any of the on-site activities. Players are going to be assigned their own practice station, and there will be no use of other practice stations allowed. I'll link the full list of procedures in the chat. One interesting thing they do say is that towards the end, players that violate protocols are subject to the forfeiture of their appearance fee and removal from the bracket.
Whoa.
So if they are at least publicly being very serious about players following protocol while they're there. I mean, this is as close to an FGC bubble as we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how this pulled off.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, look, I think we've said it enough here, right? Shit's bad. So we all need to take precautions, especially because as great as it is that we have these vaccines in the horizon, it's still got to be careful. Still got to be careful. Not to mention that even throwing an event now, it's like liability city, you know?
There's some people who can't take vaccines, so it's very important to still take preventive measures in general, because there are going to be some people who literally will be unable to take vaccines due to autoimmune something, due to like just in general sickness. So everyone being careful matters. Please continue to take the preventive measures that you have been taking, everyone, by quarantining and wearing face masks and washing your hands consistently.
Yeah, we're getting there. And who knows, maybe if this goes well, this will be a good barometer for how offline events will go in the future.
I'm just surprised that we didn't see a single freaking zombie. Is anyone else disappointed by that? I really thought this was our time, you know?
We still have 9 days left this year. Bite your tongue.
Did you guys see Jupiter-Saturn yesterday?
Yeah, that we had this discussion. We're super powered now. You're third banana on the show.
I'm a banana?
Your third banana.
What?
That's
that sounds negative and I don't like it. Christmas zombie, says Grinning Oni in the chat. I agree.
Can we talk about a couple other events that took place this past week?
Yes.
Of course.
I was going to say
so,
that, but
we do
I'm
have
glad
a lot of news to cover after this, though. So.
Yes,
and
we
have more stuff, so lightning round time. Go.
So, in the Smash community, there were two big events that took place, including 5 days of Melee, which was an event basically showcasing a whole lot from the Melee community. There were special events, there were tournaments, there were podcasts. And in a qualifier for the second event of the weekend, the LACS3, the Ludwig Ögren Championship Series number three, which was an online Melee tournament which raised money for charity. And my goodness, they came through big. The 5 days of Melee raised over $50,000 for direct relief. And the LACS event raised over $260,000 for Games for Love, which is a charity that brings consoles and games to children's hospitals to help ease the stress of them staying there. So, incredible that this is basically in response to everything that Nintendo has done to try to send the cease and desist order to the Big House to stop them from running an event. It's led to over $300,000 of charity funding. But
hopefully Nintendo doesn't take this as a cue to cancel more stuff, because this sounds like positive reinforcement. I'm just kidding. Obviously, this is great. I'm super happy that, you know, anytime gaming is put to a charitable cause, I think is like super amazing. So things like AGDQ and now like the Smash tournaments, I'm super happy about that shit. So big ups to the Smash community. I'll give you guys a round of applause on that one. Next.
There's a short delay.
Next. Something else was announced this weekend. This past weekend, and it came after the Dragon Ball Z finals. Same finals was difficult for me, but anyway, here's the trailer. This one works. I saw it. Oh, January 5th. That's like still an inconceivable date. Oh, there's one more. Whoa.
Oh.
Isn't that a character already? Yeah,
no,
Gogeta.
Gogeta was not in the game, no.
Are we? Really?
100%. No, you're probably thinking of Gogeto, who's a different character. Or Vegito, who also is a different character.
Blue says Gogeta
is in the game. My bad. That's Blue Gogeta. I'm sorry. I think in different versions, because GT and canon Dragon Ball are completely different to me. Honestly, they're completely different characters. Like, their kits are totally different.
Oh wait, is it Vegito? Oh my god, I'm so confused.
Okay,
I feel like an old man.
Lore,
oh no, it's happening.
But it is a very long time, and we were running very short on time. So I can't get into the Dragon Ball lore. I've seen every single episode. Before I commentated Winter Brawl 2019, I actually watched every single episode of Dragon Ball ever created. I watched all 14 of the movies, including the 15th movie that is no longer canon. But, like, we can get into it if y'all really want to, but we don't have time for it. I'm going to be honest with you.
We'll save it for next week.
Steve's like, I don't want any part of this. I thought it was just a trailer.
I'm just so confused.
That's like, I don't care.
I just like that Master Roshi's in the game. I count that as a win. All right. We're going to get to our final topic of the night. And this final topic is a little bit heavier than the other topics of today. Sharpie, do you want to take it from here?
Of course. So earlier this week, there was actually a statement that came out from a player inside of the community Her name is Emily. She goes by Toki Meki Emily on Twitter, and she came out with a statement stating her truth. And basically what she goes on inside of her twit longer to state was that she's leaving Brutal Democracy esports, gaming esports, and she's leaving because they have a lot of discrimination on their team. I'm sorry, Brutal Democracy Gaming, that's correct. They have a lot of discrimination on their team. They were treating her incorrectly. She wasn't feeling heard. There was a lot, there was no organization. It was just very dysfunctional. And in general, one of the things that she talks about a lot was that she put so much time and information in here that she felt like she needed to let the organizers know that she was leaving. And when she attempted to tell the owner, he actually brought up their feelings and basically said that no one would ever sponsor her, that she was unsponsorable. And it was just incredibly discriminatory and incredibly hurtful. And she felt the need to share that with people. Shortly after she came out with that, quite a few other people came out with a lot of information regarding it. What we saw was essentially a mass exodus resulting eventually in the team itself shutting down their Twitter, renaming themselves, and completely going off. We actually have a couple of statements from some previous members. One member is Tigrass, who was on the team. He was on their stream team. And a large component about what was going on here that we heard from quite a few other people was that members of the stream team were actually required to pay money to be on the stream. Even if their streams were in no way, shape, or form giving a large amount of revenue, they were required to pay money on the stream. But I'm not going to discuss too much more about it. I'd like to go to the quotes that we have specifically from Tigrass. I asked him some questions. I asked him to share a little bit about the team earlier while he was on stream, and he was polite enough to go ahead and provide it. Elon, I believe we have some video.
Sure. Do you want the first one first?
If you could, please, yes.
So my experience with BDG was shitty, to say the least. One, I fully went into it knowing that paying into a team was a bad idea, and I did it because I didn't think they'd give me any other deal otherwise, and I wanted to get into the scene on a, like, commercial, I guess, level. Being on the team was really, really shitty. It was constant fluctuations in management. The only people that were really great to us were quickly axed from the company and then made fun of by the higher-ups. It was really shitty in that aspect. They treated people like shit. The graphic designers constantly, the managers were treated badly in conversations. So many promises never fulfilled. I was supposed to get a brand new contract like 3 months ago where they were supposed to give me funding for my online tournaments and events that I did on my channel, and that just went nowhere. Of course, it was just a lot of empty promises, but that's kind of what esports is, so sadly, at most levels. What else about the team? To get anything from them, you had to beg and plead, like literally just a retweet on the main page. You had to beg them, like, please, please, can you do this? Tag them in everything, and so most of the time they still wouldn't do it. When it came to, there was huge favoritism on the team. You could tell the people who were in the pockets got things the most. And the people that were, who we didn't even know were managers and on the team at the same time and shareholders, were not disclosed to people at the same time. So that was really shady also. So
that kind of covers the first half of it. The second video quote that I was able to receive from Tigrass actually hurt me the most regarding it, because this one actually basically hit me very hard as a content creator, someone who originally started with streaming and originally tried to create a community inside of my personal region to make everyone feel empowered. But basically, what was happening with this team and what they were capitalizing on, and one of the reasons why they were asking so many people to pay their funds, was because they wanted to fund other players. And they sold this as basically a package deal to people that they attempted to sign onto their stream team. They basically tried to give them the idea that, you know, if they paid to be on the team, they could very possibly get raided by these really large streamers like Yahozi or Cloud or even... I'm blanking right now, Kawhi Miles. So it was really, honestly, one of those things that was terrible to see, because they're capitalizing once again on the fact that we are in a pandemic right now. We are in quarantine, and people don't really have any ways to network right now. They tried to sell that opportunity to network inside of a community that's already very open, that would already be very, very open and receptive to anybody trying to get into the industry. But I'm going to go ahead and let T-Grass share his second quote, talking a little bit more about it.
I only did it. I knew going in, they had me on this 6-month contract where I had to pay every month, and I just paid it up front right away because I wanted to get into those chats and get connected with those people on the team. I wanted to get connected with those top players. I wanted people in the industry to know my name and see my face. That's all I did it for. But I do feel bad. Most people got treated way worse than I did. Way worse.
So it's really hurtful to see that a team inside of the fighting game community that started bringing on so many big names, especially in the middle of a pandemic, was actually utilizing people who necessarily didn't always have the funds to be on these teams as a way to maintain themselves and their status inside of the community. It hurts because we saw this happen not even 5 years ago, honestly, and we saw it happen 5 years previous to that with I don't want to say any names because I don't even feel like those teams deserve their names to be repeated right now. I want to remind everyone that was on BDG, that was either a player, a streamer, or a content creator for them. I want to remind them that they did nothing wrong by being on that team, that they were taken advantage of, and I really, really, really hope that they move forward with this with a positive mentality, understanding that there are people inside of the community that would be more than happy to work with you, even if you don't have some type of money, right? For a lot of people inside this community, it's not about money. For a lot of people inside this community, it's literally just about showing people how much we love video games and how much we love playing video games competitively. You will never, ever, 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 ever have to pay any money to basically do a video with me. Okay, there are a couple of exceptions, obviously, but if I'm like, hey, let's collab on something, I'm probably not going to charge you with it. If you're a large organization, that's another story. But if you are a content creator and you want to do something with me, I'm not going to charge you for that. If you want to play a couple of games with me and I have free time, I'll play a set with you. If we're in a venue together and we just want to talk, we can talk. All right? It's very open. And just because a team came in here and exploited people's trust doesn't mean that you should feel like an idiot, or you should feel stupid, or you should feel like really dumb for believing that people inside this community are good. That's not your fault. That is not in any way, shape, or form an indication on you as a person, and that is not in any way, shape, or form an indication of you being naive or stupid or anything like that, all right? I want everyone to understand that this community is filled with love, and I'm so incredibly sorry that was not shown to people that were on that team, because that's disrespectful, honestly, to you. That's really the brunt of what happened there. It's very unfortunate, of course, but like I said, the team did shut down. They are no longer on Twitter. One of their organizers actually came and made a statement earlier. It was a very large statement. I believe we can put a link I'm going to put a link inside the chat now regarding it. But basically, if you would like to read it, you can. The long and the short of it is that this person was actually an organizer and one of the co-owners of BDG. And they actually left afterwards, but they were the stream manager, so they were directly responsible for showcasing everyone on stream, and they were the management of the Twitch team. But they ran into a lot of organization issues. They talk about the owner of the team being discriminatory towards the LGBTQ plus community, specifically towards the trans community, and this person specifically did not feel like their concerns were being addressed in any real manner by the team, and so they left. They tried very, very hard to do a lot, like with HR, community management, competitive director, and eventually, after they felt like they are no longer being respected by the other co-owner, they left. And after they left, they were treated very horribly by that owner as well. But they provided a lot of screenshots which I would highly recommend anyone who's interested in learning more about this information go follow. I'm going to post another link to that inside of chat, just to her statement, which we unfortunately don't have enough time to cover. But once again, my heart does go out to everybody inside of the community that was a part of this event. I had a few people that I consider friends inside of the community on the event, and I'm very, very sorry that unfortunately this happened to you. And I hope that you continue to grow inside of the fighting game community, even if it's not necessarily on a team. I want to remind everyone that I'm not personally sponsored by any teams. I'm not on a team. I do partnership deals with brands. And if anyone has questions as to how they can do something like that while being unsponsored, you are more than free to email myself, DM me, or hit me up in any way, shape, or form. I want to let you know that predatory teams like this are not always the answer. And sometimes you are better off being on your own. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharpie.
I mean, this is something... This is something we've seen before. Mm-hmm. This is something we're going to continue to see. Both because you have people coming in with expectations or with the idea that, yeah, they're going to make a quick buck off of being an esports team. And, yeah, we're going to do this, that, the other thing. And that's their hustle. And then you also have teams coming in here and just simply biting off more than they can chew. Not to say that that's what's happening here. But I've seen it with people coming in, even with the best of intentions, not able to support a team and end up doing shady things because they think they're doing, you know, they think that what they'll be able to do in the long run will be better than this bad thing they have to do now. Mm-hmm. Because we're not massive, we don't have massive money in here. We don't have necessarily the multi-million dollar teams taking a look at things. So it's going to be, you're going to see fly-by-night stuff coming in because it's always going to be there. There's always going to be that room in that little, in our little niche for people who, there's so many people who want to be part of a team who believe that being on a team, being on an esports organization is the path to getting recognized, is the path to becoming a top player, or at least recognized as a top player. And there's more players than there are opportunities right now. Mm-hmm. So it's sad that we have to report on this. Very much afraid that we're going to have to do a similar report on another organization very soon because this is going to keep happening.
Yeah, I will say that this is one of... Oh, I'm so sorry, Elon. Go on.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
I will say that this was one of the harder quotes for me to obtain just personally because while I don't personally feel comfortable sharing my stories with esports organizations, I haven't necessarily had as negative an experience where I've had to pay to be on the team. There have been experiences that I've had with some teams that I've been adjacent to where this idea of having to pay to network inside of your own community was presented to me. And luckily, I had people that showed me the way. And it's really hurtful because I know for a fact a lot of the people inside of the community, like T-Grass, like Emily, these are people who go to events. These are people that would have had an opportunity to meet these people otherwise. And it hurts so much personally for me because I know that these people would have been able to network and do exactly what they needed to do if events were still happening. Like that really personally resonated with me. And to be honest, I apologize here, but it was really fucked up of BDG to do this. It was incredibly, incredibly fucked up. There's no other way to say it. It was just some of the scummiest things you could do in the middle of a huge recession to prey on people and make them believe that their dreams have a monetary amount to it. It's just so vile and disgusting. I really, really am so sorry that this happened yet again, but I really hope that everyone behind the scenes is watching and make sure that anyone that was associated with this team that contributed to this happening is on some sort of list, to be very honest. So that's all I wanted to say. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. And, you know, it's sad because we're still in an industry that's so young and so unregulated that there are people who come in with the worst of intentions. And again, because everybody's so hungry, we don't necessarily know how to spot red flags just yet. Because again, this is so new for everybody. It's unfortunate that, you know, people with the worst intentions come in. However, I do, before I even keep going, I do want to say a big thank you to T-Grass for very intelligently and wisely speaking on this topic. Going through some fucked up shit and then talking about it in such an open way is hard, and it is difficult. So I super appreciate you, T-Grass. Thank you for sharing some of your experience with this bullshit.
I'd like to take a moment and just share his socials really quickly, both in audio format and inside of the link. And if everyone could please support him, because this experience, like I said, he was expecting to help grow from this experience. So if everyone could just do us a follow, just do us a favor and just follow him. His Twitch is twitch.tv/TGRASS or T-Grass. His YouTube is youtube.com/T-Grass. His TikTok, which I actually know him on and I'm looking forward to working with him on, is tiktok.com/TGRASS. So if you all have these platforms, please feel free to give him some love. If you are interested in giving him an actual business offer, you can find his email address at tgrassbiz@gmail.com or tgrassbiz@gmail.com. Feel free to reach out to him with amazing collab offers, offers for work, or any other contract jobs that are legal and fair and respect him. Please, please, please. Once again, we appreciate you so much for that, T-Grass.
Also on Twitter at tgrass715.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm so embarrassed.
Love he deserves because, you know, some people are shitty enough to try to take advantage of other people who are just hungry and passionate. So show them some love. Show them that the community actually is not as shitty as these terrible organizations are. And look, it is shitty that this happened, but I will say this. What?
What are you laughing? Y'all killing me on the swear jar. Because I got to go back and beep out all of these swear words.
Look, this is an emotional topic, okay?
I get that. I get that. Topic. But it just seemed like you were intentionally using the as many times as you could in like one sentence.
According to the FCC, is not a curse word, so you can leave that stuff
in. It is in this context.
When it's referring to poop, yes. When it's referring to an amalgamation of things, no. Read that on the FCC website. However, what I want to say is one lesson that can be learned from this is we're starting to learn how to spot those red flags, right? We're starting to learn that, yes, people are going to take advantage of us, so we have to be a little bit more vigilant. And Finitude, I will tell you this. I will tell you that after I finish this thought. So us learning how to be more vigilant about people preying on us is going to, A, make us a stronger community, because then we can involve the people that we know are for sure good, and we can keep the people that are shitty out as far. And I mean people, I mean organizations and stuff like that, obviously. And B, it's going to keep these shitty people / organizations from preying on us. So while this experience is extremely shitty, it's a great lesson to learn and to move forward from. Is all I wanted to say. And also, I know that because I was a high school teacher for 4 years and I curse like a sailor. So I had to back that up with some research. So there you go. That's why I know that. Now, we have two more topics.
Well, the FCC doesn't run iTunes or Google Podcasts, so Steve still has to bleep it out.
Sorry, Steve.
It's okay.
Anyway, we have two.
I'll live somehow.
We have two topics we have to go into super lightning round for because we're quickly approaching time. First, remember a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I reported on the BD6, the Bud Light console. Looks like there's competition for that now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. The KF console.
Oh my God, this isn't real. This isn't real. Stop. Literally stop this.
The KF console has arrived. forged from the fires of the KFC ovens and built my Cooler Master from the ground up.
They're oh, sure, my God.
There has never been a tastier way to experience the latest titles in stunning 4K 240fps.
I couldn't read that with a straight face. Oh, my God. This isn't real.
Keep going.
It's
Keep
got a going. Chicken chamber.
There's a chicken chamber. Are you joking?
No.
Yo, okay. I know because we're an audio podcast, everyone, but there is literally a small drawer where you can crisp your chicken in. It says world first built-in chicken chamber. And underneath it, it says never risk letting your chicken go cold again. Thanks to the patented chicken chamber. Utilizing the system's natural heat and airflow, you can focus on your gameplay and enjoy hot, crispy chicken between rounds. This just seems so wrong. This just I can't. This isn't real. Oh my God. Ooh, they oh have a my cord- God.
a ninth gen i9 processor.
Oh my God.
They don't necessarily say what kind of GPU is in there, but
no. Can you move it back up actually? Real quick. Okay.
To the chicken or the
No, right here to the to the chassis. Yeah, okay. So they have an i9 CPU, it looks like, and that in and of itself is very telling because, you know, the i9 came out last November, not this last month November, but last year November. It's only been out for about a year now. If not for the pandemic, it probably would have actually sold pretty well. It doesn't do much higher than the i7, but I digress. If you could scroll down just a little bit for me, please. What we're also seeing here is that they also have a swappable GPU slot, which is to say that you can put, they have a picture of an Asus GPU here, but more importantly, it uses PCIe Express, which means that you can use an NVIDIA 3080 inside of it.
So
this is ridiculous.
So if your chicken is not cooling,
It's got two 1 terabyte solid state drives.
Now, I just want to say most offensive thing about all of this is all of the very, very weird food verbiage that they're using. Buttery smooth. I don't really.
Oh, and it's VR ready.
With the smell of fresh chicken captures your senses. This feels low-key, high-key racist, but also, like, I don't know how I feel about this. This is straight out of Idiocracy, honestly.
It really is.
This is real? Amazing. Like, you can buy this?
This is real. You can't buy it yet.
Oh, my God.
There is no release date. There is no price announced, but this is from KFC Gaming from... If you remember, I think it was last year, they actually released a KFC-themed dating sim.
Please, so, God.
They are... I fully expect this to actually be a physical thing that you can put in your hands. Why you would want to put it in your hands, I have no idea, but it's a possibility.
All right. And then lastly, because we haven't had this in a while... Let's do a question of the day. It's going to be super fast. So, Steve, get your reading glasses on. Here we go.
All right. So we asked, you know, what do you want for Christmas? We're a few days away from Christmas. So we're asking you, what do you want for Christmas? Dog the Cynic wants 2020 to end 6 days early, which I think nobody would
make it your wish.
Yeah. Sabretooth wants a Nintendo 64. Does anyone even remember that video anymore?
Yes.
I do.
I either want to go 0-2 safely at an offline event next year, or my girlfriend to make me a box of the caramels she made for
everyone. Also, you call them caramels, so I hate you, but...
They're really good. St. Cola wants to gat buffs. Good luck with that. Not gonna happen. Von Jarek wants Alex to be a real boy. Can you be a real boy without a trailer, though? Experiment wants Sam show rollback.
That's never happening, honey. I'm sorry to tell you.
You need a greater power than Santa Claus to get that. I'm sorry. Mad B-Man wants a hot air soldering gun. You're
Now with the KF console.
Your eye out with that thing.
with the KF console, you can.
Oh my god!
You can use the heat from the chicken to solve it.
I laughed too hard. I'm going to pass out. I'm sorry.
God.
All right.
God. Ryu Dragon wants a new car.
A new car for you. You get a car. I'm FGC Oprah now.
Joey B29 wants Vega to be better. Join with St. Cola, because I don't think it's going to happen. I'm sorry. Cheyenne wants a new game, because life is so bad nowadays, and even extra bad for him personally, that he just wants to escape it for a few hours and feel good after losing everything in this pandemic. Man, it's tough out here, but there is light. Things will be better soon. Just hang in there, because trust me, we're almost there. To get through this stronger.
We're almost there.
Animate Sam wants me, apparently. which I don't know why you edited the name as if I'm not the admin of the Twitter account. Like, somehow are you thinking I'm not going to see it? Because it's literally my job to see it. Literally my job. Oh my god. The foreman wants better execution. I hope you are blessed with those skills. That Santa gives you that crispy execution under your tree this year.
With the KF console, now you can crisp up your
Oh my god, Alan.
I'm so mad. I'm so mad about that, Hayaki.
Revenge for saying I'm third banana.
He did say that, though. That's fair. Like, it's valid.
Last, before we leave, the most important thing is Kwanzaa has resubbed for 37 months. Thank you, Kwanzaa.
Merry Christmas, y'all, and happy Kwanzaa indeed, everyone.
I think
happy
Kwanzaa
Hanukkah, happy holidays, yes. And most importantly, everyone, it's now officially been almost 10 months since we've started quarantine. I hope everyone's staying safe. I hope you're calling your loved ones. I really hope you're still social distancing. Thank you so much for still being here with us on this fantastic podcast. It's been a pleasure being here, and it's been even better to see everyone in chat every single time we come live, and just knowing that y'all are still out there in the world. It's awesome. It's an amazing feeling, and thank you so much for that.
Are you leaving?
Merry Christmas.
It almost sounded like you were gonna say like I'm retiring or something.
I was signing off with a heartfelt note, Elon. God.
No signing off unless I say so. I have the button.
I'm kidding.
But no. All joking aside, what Sharpie said, thank you everybody for being here. I'm not gonna re-say what she said, because she said it way more eloquently than I ever can. So thank you, Sharpie, for that. I'm Elon. This is my social media stuff. This is Steve, the Ace King Offsuit Jurek. Follow his social media stuff over there. And, of course, the Purple
I'm Sharpie. Follow my TikTok and my web series, which comes out this Friday, day after Christmas, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. I don't know what time it is in Canada, but hey, good night, Canada.
Wait, is it Friday or day after Christmas? Because Christmas is Friday.
Christmas is Friday. It's coming out on Christmas, y'all! It's not Boxing Day, though.